Yo, what's up? Welcome to the OKB's podcast, episode 30. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adelier. Joining me this week is Ian Prichelle. What's up, Ian?
So I had this whole big thing about how I was thinking about a catchphrase, and then our audio got messed up, and then I had a chance to do another round of thinking of a catchphrase, and even within that time, I couldn't think of one.
Yeah, this is the second time where you're like, I don't have a catchphrase. It's all good, though. Like I said this on the first take, and I'll say it before. Say something in Japanese.
Just be like, life hack.
Or something in something. You're Japanese and Jewish and from Jersey. So say something.
Okay, wait. I know what I'm going to say. Yeah. I'm going to pose a really strange question, and that's going to open everything up. So I asked you this question on Twitter, but you didn't give me a real response.
Mm-hmm.
So now that Obama's out of office, do you think that any other presidents play video games?
Like,
do you think that I, like, have killed Bill Clinton on Call of Duty? And he's like, God damn it. He got me again with a headshot.
Did Barack Obama play video games? Is that a thing?
There's a photo of him with the Wii, right? Isn't that, like, one of the things that's, like,
joke? The Wii doesn't have online functionality. Like, it did, but it didn't really. It had, like, Mario Kart, and that was, like, the only game people played online.
Do you think Obama's, like, that guy on NBA 2K? Do you think he's, like, popping in 2K?
Probably.
When...
if he played any game, it'd be NBA 2K. And I'm not being racist, but I'm being a little bit racist.
No, he plays basketball, doesn't he? That's like, wasn't that, like, his big sport that he used to play all the time, like, when people would take photos of him?
I mean, he also apparently smoked weed, and so he might have been into, like, Grand Theft Auto or something.
Can you imagine that?
I could see it. Because Frank Underwood in House of Cards is, like, a video game addict. Like, have you watched House of Cards?
I've never seen that show before. No.
He's not an addict, but he plays a lot of video games. But it's, like, very obvious product placement. But one of his things is, like, he plays video games a lot.
Interesting.
And in the third season, I believe he hired a games journalist to be, like, his speechwriter. And to, like, shadow him and his wife. And I think write a book about them. It was a weird season where, like, this, like, very popular, very famous Netflix show intertwined with, like, the culture that I'm kind of obsessed with, being, like, games, media, and stuff like that. Like, it intertwined with that stuff, like, in a very weird way. Because what happened was, he was playing, and I don't know if these aren't really spoilers, because they have nothing to do with, like, anything crazy that happened in the story, but if you don't want to hear House of Cards spoilers, I guess skip forward 2 minutes. But he was playing, this mobile game. It's a real game because it was product placement. I can't remember the name of it though, but it's like it was popular a couple years ago. It has like an isometric style. It kind of looked like the Go games, but it wasn't a Go game. But he was playing that game, and like he was trying to think of like how he was going to go about like his political thing. Like how he was going to progress in his politics. I can't remember if he was president or not or whatever, but like. He was like playing the game, and he was like, oh, I got it. Then like the next scene was like him like bringing in like this games journalist, and he was like, oh, how'd you find me? And he read like his review of the game, and he was like, see, these are words that got me to like buy this game and stuff. And I was like, this is a really weird show.
I mean,
it was really weird.
I guess that kind of makes sense. I don't know, but back to the topic at hand. Do you think so you think Obama played NBA? Do you think that George W. Bush?
GW.
Do you think that he's like at an arcade? Yeah, I was like, do you think that, no, you know what game he played? I bet you he played or plays like Big Game Buck Hunter, like the game you find, like that arcade game in like bars or whatever. I bet you he plays Big Game Buck Hunter.
I feel like he plays something where he can like kill terrorists.
What? Okay, wait, ready here. Listen to this. So what if he plays The Sims, but then he makes like half of the characters are like copies of him. He's like, it's little George W's, and then he has like old terrorists or whatever. But then he's like, it's okay, terrorist. I'll take you in. You guys will be my friends. It'll be okay. And then like he has them like in a weird odd couple scenario when it's all of them living in the house together.
Oh my god! And then he like walls off all the terrorists into like this like room with no doors that they can't escape, and just has them all starve to death, and just watches it happen. Isn't that like
really,
a very
demented really,
thing?
They got really dark just now.
That's like a thing people do in Sims, like often.
Yeah, that is something that people do. Like I had a friend growing up. It was like a girl that I'd grown up with in my family, my whole life, like a family friend. And she was like, haha, you're playing video games. What a weirdo. And I was like, you play The Sims. And she's like, yeah, well, I just play to watch them die. And I'm like, haha. And then I didn't realize that was weird until like a year later. And then I was like, oh, shit, this girl's a murderer.
I like the phrase, digital murderer. I like to play to watch them die. That sounds very like John Wick or Liam Neeson.
It sounds like a video game villain or something.
It does. It sounds demented, but it sounds like a good cat. That should be your catchphrase when I'm like, this is Ian Preschel. And you're like, I like to play to watch them die. I feel like that's a good, like,
I like
rebuttal.
To play to watch them die.
Like, yeah, just something like really, really creepy.
Something really messed up. It's been 2 weeks since we've been on a podcast together, which makes me kind of sad, but makes me kind of excited because that means we have a lot to talk about. For example, this would be a great segue if I didn't have to do the description and stuff, but I was going to say, for example, Neo came out and you played Neo, but we'll get into that. We'll get into some Neo. We'll get into some Switch and Horizon stuff, even though we haven't played the Switch or Horizon, but the embargoes for those lifted, and so media outlets have been talking all about them, so we'll get into that. We'll get into some For Honor. We'll get into a bunch of stuff because we have a lot to talk about this episode.
Before you say that, do you think that the president can hit up any video game studio in America and be like, give me that game 1 week before? Do you think that the president can break embargo? That's my question. Is that my next career move? Is like, do I just become the president?
I don't think the current president can.
No, like definitely Obama not the current one. Definitely, yeah. Do you think Obama was like, my fellow game? Wait, that's a different voice. Wait, how does Obama speak? How does he sound?
I mean, that was close. It was
my fellow Americans. Okay, yeah. He's like, my fellow game devs. Now I'm doing a combination of like Bill Clinton and Bush. I'm like doing every president at once. Do you think that he hits up like Nintendo and he's like, listen, I need you to give me that new Switch, please.
Reggie, I need that Switch.
And then Reggie. No problem. Do you know apparently Reggie's like super tall?
Yeah, he's like giant.
He's like a beef boy. I had no idea. Yeah. I had absolutely no idea he was a beef boy.
Yeah, he looks. Anyways, I feel like he looks like it. Like his face looks like he's. I mean, I was gonna say his face looks like he's a monster, but that sounds like I'm saying that he's ugly. I'm not saying Reggie's ugly. He's just like he looks like a beast of a human being. Like he looks like he's one of the elite ones, you know? Like, oh, if you had a war with aliens, like, he'd be the ones we'd send to, like, show them that we mean business. The OK Beast podcast is a gaming and nerd culture centric show where a couple of friends come together and talk about what's going on in this world. We are the official podcast of OKBeast.com. If you like the show, remember to subscribe to us on your streaming service of choice. Visit us on OKBeast.com and follow at OKBeast now on Twitter. Rate us on iTunes because it helps out a lot. It helps with algorithms. It helps with feedback. It helps with a lot of stuff. So do that. Remember that we have an anime show that is incoming. It's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. Look out for it.
Yeah, you listened. You listened to the first episode.
I listened to the first and a half episode. I listened to part of the second episode, and it sounds great. We talked about this actually. Me and Alex talked about this 2 episodes ago, and we're saying like, oh yeah, like you and your guest killed it. We haven't said who your guest is yet, but we're saying you guys like killing it with the anime stuff. And so, you like anime, or if you don't like anime, like you should check it out when it comes out because it's gonna be sick. Like, I can already tell it's the start of something beautiful for this website. Things are happening. Things are happening with OK Beast. I feel like OK Beast is getting bigger right now, and it's exciting to see. Wink, wink. No, it's getting hype city. And so let's start up with what we've been up to this. Dang it, I said it wrong. What's been up this week? Which I still don't know if that sounds right. What? Wait, what'd you say?
I'm just going to say edit point whenever you make a mistake, and then it'll be a joke where you never edit them out, so it'll just be me saying edit point.
Oh, yeah. I never do it. I should listen to this podcast and edit everything I do badly out, but I'm too lazy. That's another thing I do badly is I become lazy. And so, yeah, let's get into what we've been up to this week. Ian, you can go first since it's been a while.
It's been a while. What have I been up to? So, I've been playing a bunch of games, and since last we spoke, I played For Honor, I played Neo, and both those games are really good. But the thing about, I guess I'll talk about For Honor first, is I played that game with the homie Alex Van Aken and Nato, so I've been having some times with that. And essentially, I guess that game was not marketed as what it is, like, the game really is just a fighting game. It's a 3D Tekken-style fighting game.
Dude, that's exactly how I feel about it. Because I played the beta, and I had, like, that same reaction when I was playing one-on-one. I was like, this is basically a fighting game, and I played it like 2-on-2 and stuff. I don't really like the Dominion, which is like,
yeah, those modes, those modes over time are like pretty much like garbage, because there's like items you get from like these box, like loot box Overwatch. Every game is doing loot boxes now, which is fucking annoying. But the thing about that is that the game is like unbalanced in the fact that if you, for example, in Overwatch, if you get a new skin, that doesn't make your gun better. But in this, you get items that make your weapon better and your armor better or whatever. And for example, if I'm, if I just bought the game and you've been playing for like your fourth prestige or whatever, then you're going to garbage fuck me. Like literally, you'll get this meter called Revenge Meter, and that makes you have like double attack, and some of your moves are unblockable. It's crazy. And those items give you an advantage in that game mode, but not in 1-on-1 or 2-on-2. So that's why I think that in 1-on-1, it's a good, it's a really cool balanced fighting game. But in 2-on-2, it's, or sorry, on 4-on-4 Dominion or whatever, it becomes like a different thing entirely. But why I call it No Honor in our little document, because sometimes when you'll be playing, you'll be in a 1-on-1, and then you'll be like, okay, I'm about to beat this guy, and then his teammate will like rush in on the other side and then just like grab you, and then your opponent has a chance to kill you, and then you're dead. So that's why it's for honor, but in reality it's no honor, which I sort of also respect in its own way. It's like the trash lord way of fighting is like, this game is about for honor, but it's actually about being the scummiest guy you could possibly be. So that was that. And then so that was For Honor, and it's a really fun game. If you're into fighting games, you're into that sort of like style of play, I would say check it out. And it's funny because in a lot of fighting games, I get super frustrated at people who are way better than me. But in this game, I feel like you're always okay. So in fighting games, there are these systems that are really hard to comprehend. For example, like frame trapping and grab teching and all this sort of stuff. Like, it's a little bit on the more difficult side to understand, and sometimes in fighting games, especially like Street Fighter, they're not super good at explaining to you like these high level concepts. But in this game, I feel like everything like is on the surface level, where it's easy to understand where you fucked up, if that makes any sense. So even if I'm losing, I'm not in this sense where I'm like, oh, what did I do? I messed up and I lost for no reason. I like every time I lose, I know exactly why I messed up, and I'm like ready for the next game. And I think that's one of the reasons why it's a very different type of fighting game, because I usually with fighting games, I get frustrated. But with this game, I haven't found that level of frustration yet. It's more like, crap, I need to get on my game. I need to figure some stuff out.
It's weird because that game, it seems like a game that I would have dreamed about like in a past life, because it's a weird mixture of like, it's like Call of Duty if Call of Duty was a fighting game, where like you're running out with like your people and stuff, and you're taking over points if you're playing Dominion or something, you're completing objectives, but at the same time, like when you encounter another player that's on the opposite side, it becomes super slow and super like it's a game about wits, and it's a game about like outthinking your opponent. Which I'm really big fan of, which that's why I like 1-on-1 games online in general. That's why I like playing Rocket League 1-on-1. That's why I like playing fighting games in general. That's why I like playing FIFA 1-on-1, because it's all about outwitting that one person. I get really frustrated in that game when it's like 2-on-1 or 3-on-1, and I just get like outnumbered, because it feels like there's absolutely nothing you can do, which I guess kind of plays into the strategy of it. Like, you want to be communicating with people so that you can like plan that kind of stuff out. From what I played of it, I've enjoyed it also. I think it's pretty cool. I don't know what else I could have asked for. It's
coming out at the worst possible time.
Oh, dude, it's coming out at the worst possible time. Like, I wish it came out earlier, like maybe like early January or something. And maybe like I wish kind of the same for Neo. Like, I wish everything could just like get out the way of everything else, because like For Honor, it came out like what? Like last week or 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, last week.
Yeah, that game doesn't have a prayer. It doesn't have a prayer of me buying it. Like, it might have a prayer in like its own, like, since it's a different thing than the big games that are coming out in a second. But like, I guess I'll just talk about this now. I have like Persona 5 pre-ordered. I have Yooka-Laylee pre-ordered.
Well, Persona 5 isn't coming out for a while. You have like till
it's
April?
Coming out in like April. Yeah, but that's like that's like in a month and a half, like about, just about. And like even this next month, like I have Horizon and Zelda pre-ordered, and those games are going to take me like the whole month and more likely. And so like I have those three games pre-ordered. Ukulele, I have, and with those four games pre-ordered right there, like For Honor doesn't, like, there are no other games in this half of this year that can possibly take my money, because I've already like spent more than I've even like that I feel healthy with. But like as a game itself, it's pretty cool, and I wish it just kind of got out the way more, because it's not that it's a bad game by any means. It's exactly what it kind of advertises itself to be. And I think it even has a little bit more depth than you would have thought. Kind of like you said, like you go into this game, you realize like, oh, it's kind of like a fighting game. But compared to like what everything else is, like compared to how big Zelda is, compared to how big Horizon is, compared to how big Persona is, and Ukulele isn't like that big, but it's big to me because I'm excited for it. And so like it's a cool game. At least it was cool for me playing the beta. I thought it was interesting.
Yeah. So moving on from that, I've been playing Neo as well, the Japanese style Dark Souls game with mission structure instead of a big open world. And I love it. It's really cool. And I think the one thing that it does more than any of these other Dark Souls like games is that it has a mission structure. So, for example, if you're playing Dark Souls and you're playing for like a couple of hours, right, and then you take a break for like a day or two, you can get into this position where you don't know where to go, and that can be kind of frustrating. Or like maybe you like lost the critical path or like the side path or whatever. But in Neo, they're all missions, so they're kind of these areas, but each mission has like a small area where you want to be, so it's very hard to get lost, and it's good for like small bursts of playing, which is what I usually have time for. And I think it's good for people who like the Dark Souls mechanics, like the like essence of a Dark Souls game, a difficult, challenging game where you lose your progress if you die. But actually in Neo, you can pick your souls back up. So if you go back, if you reach the area where you died, you actually gain those souls back. So it's a little bit less, it's a little bit more forgiving than Dark Souls. But one development in Neo that I've been kind of focusing on is I saw a article about a speedrunner beating the game in less than 2 hours. And I thought, oh, you know, maybe I can learn like a way to optimize how I'm playing. Like maybe I can play a better way by watching this speedrun. And I watched the speedrun, and he uses these two different types of spells that slow the enemy down, that weaken their defenses, that weaken their attack, and then strengthen his attack by two. And he beats bosses in like less than 2 minutes. And I was like, oh, okay. And this is the same game that took me literally two days to beat one boss. And after that, I was like, oh, okay, this is the way of the scum. This is the I don't care about the game anymore strategy. And I was like,
It's a cool game.
Okay, I'm going to do it. And then I started doing it from that point on, and I've had no problems with any of the bosses. Like,
really?
So the thing is about this, like, so in Dark Souls, you have magic, and from what I understand of past Dark Souls games, like, the magic in Dark Souls is kind of, like, whatever. It's mainly about, like, when you see Dark Souls, you think of the sword and the shield and everything, sword and board. But in this game, magic is actually really, really useful. So I initially was, like, leveling up my ninja abilities, where, like, you throw kunai, you get, like, poison daggers or whatever. But apparently they're not that useful. And apparently what you want to do is level up the magic tree, because the magic tree can help you, because the magic actually affects bosses as well. So
nice. How's it difficulty wise? Is it easier harder than Dark Souls or Bloodborne?
It's easier in some ways, harder in other ways. Like I think the actual, like the enemy, like the smaller enemies, like the enemies you fight on the way to the boss are harder in this game, but since you have access to those magic abilities, like the sloth, like the thing that slows the enemy down, the thing that weakens their defenses, and those magics work on bosses, that in itself makes the bosses easier. And if you know that strategy, then you can definitely win a lot easier. And plus there's other things like living weapon, which is like your weapon gets imbued with like this spirit power, and then you can't, when you're using that thing, you can't die, because your stamina becomes a part of this bar, like this magic weapon bar. So that's another thing. So I think the bosses become a lot easier because of those different things you can do. But if you're not using those things, then the bosses become super hard. Like that one boss I mentioned before took me like 2 days of play pretty much to beat before I started using this other strategy, the Way of the Scum, as I call it. But yeah, it's a great game. It's an awesome game. It has a bunch of Japanese cultural stuff in it. It's beautiful. Great systems. And yeah.
Nice. That's awesome. Dude, yeah. It's this year is kind of crazy because like Neo is another game where people love it. And from what I've heard, like people who have been like holding it up there is like possibly like one of their Game of the Year contenders, especially like if you're like a Dark Souls, Bloodborne kind of person, like if that's your thing. People have been looking at Neo and have been being like, this is like amazing, and like on like up to par like with one of those games. And so it's crazy to see this year be so stacked so far, like at least like the first couple months, because with that Resident Evil, For Honor, which I just realized you've played all of those, like For Honor, Resident Evil, and Neo, right?
Yeah.
Which one do you feel like has grabbed you the most so far?
Oh, Neo, 100%.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's probably a tie between Neo and Resident Evil.
Yeah, and you played Yakuza also, I forgot.
And Yakuza, yeah. Yakuza's great, but it's like, it's more of like an, like it is a definite like lower quality than these other games. Like it feels like a PS2, PS3 game, but in a good way, if that makes any sense. Like that old nostalgia feel kind of thing.
I got you.
Yeah.
Nice.
But then other things that have been going on, let's see. I have been working on the anime podcast like we talked about. So I finished a bunch of animes that I've been like working through. That volleyball anime I was talking about, I finished that. So that was pretty cool. And then I missed all my CW shows, like the superhero shows this week, except for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And that kind of parlays into your week because you also have been playing. I've been watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I've been watching so much of it. Before I get into it, do you have anything else you want to touch on, or?
Oh yeah. So speaking of anime and speaking of like news kind of stuff, so last week, or actually for this anime podcast, the first episode we're talking about is Full Metal Alchemist, and the like in the news recently they released a trailer for the Full Metal Alchemist live action movie. And I want to know your thoughts on, like, I know you're, like, kind of a borderline anime fan, but you're, like, you, like, look into that.
Yeah, I'm a casual anime fan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, like, you kind of, like, you're, like, a third party. Like, you kind of know what it is, you enjoy it for what it is, but you're not a super fan. Yeah. So I want to ask your opinion as a, like, pseudo fan. What are your thoughts on anime movies becoming live action movies?
I feel like there is a way for them to be done right. I don't think I've seen any anime film become a good live action movie so far. Like the only one I can really recall is Dragon Ball Z, or Dragon Ball, I can't remember whatever it was called, which was horrible. And has there been any other one like that, like any other high profile one that I should know about?
That's a good question, actually. A live action one?
Yeah. Because I feel like it's not a thing that's done often. And I think that's probably because of the style of anime. Like, anime is very over the top. And it's very, like part of the charm of anime is the style of it. And, like, part of why I like Spirited Away is because how the characters look. And part of why I like Dragon Ball Z is because how, like, crazy everything is. And so, like, I don't, like, a live-action anime movie could be done well. But I think for it to be done well, it would have to be, like, Scott Pilgrim. Like, Scott Pilgrim is the only movie that I think of that could pull that kind of thing off. Because Scott Pilgrim already is a little bit kind of like an anime, live-action anime film, except it's, like, it's based off a comic instead of anime. But, like, it kind of has that kind of, like, over-the-top, not taking itself too seriously. I'm going to fight this random person in the street because, like, my girlfriend's ex or something like that. And, like, it has all this over-the-top stuff, but it's still like super stylized, it's still kind of controlled, it has its own parameters in which it works within. And I think for an anime movie to be good, it would have to kind of follow in similar footsteps of being like tamed, adapting, but worked around well, and like I don't know, carefully done, or done smartly. It's hard. Like, I don't want an anime movie that's like super like over the top and super like super high budgeted. I want something that's like more controlled and more tame and more thoughtful, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that the Scott Pilgrim analogy is actually a perfect one, because it had those like wacky video game tropes, and it kind of did feel kind of like a comic book like tribute to nerds. But as you were talking, I was realizing like there's so many comic book movies, but there's so few live action anime movies, at least from like for the American audience. Like there's a couple in Japan. Like there was a one for Rurouni Kenshin. There's a new one for JoJo's Bizarre Adventure coming out. There's a Full Metal Alchemist one. There's an Attack on Titan one. But I think that maybe, I mean, like anime is not as popular in America as it is in Japan. So maybe like that's one of the reasons why is that studios aren't willing to put that time in, except if they know there's like it's a really good property that they can make some money off of and a good actor behind it. For example, Ghost in the Shell is an anime movie. That'll be the first real American anime.
That's true, actually. I forgot about
besides DBZ. Yeah. But yeah, I just wanted to know your thoughts on it, and I wanted to get like feel you out for that sort of stuff and see if that was your kind of deal. I don't know. I'm trying to think of like that question is still stuck in my head of like, why are there like 3 billion comic book movies, but there's like only one high profile anime movie coming out?
And I think part of it has to do with popularity, because like,
if that's the issue, if popularity is the issue, right? Like they're getting to like fucking Black Panther and Ant-Man and like characters that don't know who the fuck they are. Like, well, Black Panther is pretty popular and so is Ant-Man in terms of the comic book community. But like, do you think that, actually, here's a really good question. Do you think when the comic book well dries up, they're going to start pulling anime shit? Because like people keep on talking about the superhero comic book bubble, right? Because like a lot of stories are very similar. They're like kind of the samey, if that makes any sense. So like, do you think that once the superhero bubble pops, do you think they're going to say, fuck it, we'll start making anime movies now? Because they're making Netflix is making an anime adaptation of Death Note.
I think that might have gotten canceled though, because I heard that they're doing the same thing with Zac Efron, but I think it might have got canceled. I think Zac Efron owns part of Death Note. This is what I've heard from a different podcast. What I heard from a different podcast was Death that Note, look it up, Zac look it up, Efron. Look it up, and I'll explain it. So
I think this might be a joke.
Because what I've heard is that like they wanted Zac Efron to play the main character in Death Note. But what happened was like Zac Efron to agree, he wanted to like have like some kind of royalties, and so like he ended up owning part of Death Note as like a deal to like get him to play the main character in a Death Note series. But then the show got canceled, and so like now Zac Efron kind of still owns Death Note, and he makes royalties off the anime.
That's the name of this episode, by the way. Zac Efron owns Death Note. That's the name of this. So Zac Efron responded to rumors that he'd be playing the film's lead role by stating that the project was not on the front burner, and that was in 2009. But no, so now the main character is a guy called Nat Wolf, and then the guy playing familiar. Let's see. Yeah, okay. He was in The Fault in Our Stars. That like generic looking white guy. And then the shut-in guy
antagonist.
Antagonist is played by a black guy. I don't know the guy's Keith,
I don't even know
Stanfield.
If you call him antagonist. He's just like the opposite. I like that show because like the protagonist is kind of the antagonist and vice versa.
In a way, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Zac Efron owns anime. Yeah, that's why no anime movies are coming out, is because Zac Efron owns them all.
But like as a response to the comic book comparison, I think part of the reason why so many comic book movies are being made is because like of Marvel specifically. Like I think it's just that brand that has done such a good job of making great products. Like if you look at other Marvel movie or other superhero movies that aren't Marvel movies, like they're not hitting the same mark. Like I think they're getting made and they're getting picked up because of Marvel, because like companies are seeing the way Marvel is doing it and being like, okay, we want to do it like that, like them. Except like you see like Batman versus Superman, you see like
that was DC trash because like, the fucking script was awful.
The script
DC,
was awful.
DC doesn't really give a shit, and I think DC just feels like if it's visually interesting, then they'll fucking do it. Like Zack Snyder, I'm convinced, can't read.
I think the best hope, or not the best hope, but a great hope for anime movies would be if Disney acquired some. Actually, Disney has Studio Ghibli, don't they? Or Ghibli, or whatever they're called.
Do they? I don't know if that's true.
I feel like they.
All right, let's
might.
check if Blessing's a liar.
Google that. Google that again. This is just gonna be.
Disney owns
bless.
Marvel. Disney owns ABC. Disney owns Star Wars. Disney owns everything. Are the options on Google right now?
That actually about sums it up.
Let's see. Animation studios owned by Walt Disney. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I think that. Wait. Let's see. Studio Ghibli. We're doing fact checking right now.
Because my feelings on it is if Disney owns like some anime properties. Then...
Okay, so Studio Ghibli distributed Disney.
Okay, distributed by Disney.
But not owned by. They have a relationship.
So I feel like if Disney acquired like an anime studio or like acquired some like high profile anime properties, that's like that would be a great thing for live action anime. Because like if the deal with Studio Ghibli like ended up becoming deeper, right, and Disney acquired them, like I think Disney would make a live action Spirited Away. And I think that would be incredible.
No.
Really? No. Oh man, I don't know. I because I trust Disney. Disney's the only people who I
trust.
I
trust them for sure, but like I feel like that movie in general should not be touched. I feel like a lot of Ghibli stuff shouldn't be touched.
I agree
with you. Just because that like style, that like sort of stuff is what I want to be left alone. Like there's some stuff you just don't touch. But I feel like if you're right, I think if like Disney did acquire by some strange means an anime studio, then they're like, fuck it, we're gonna take the most popular anime and make it into a live action movie.
Like if they got like Funimation or something.
But Dragon Ball Z, they already did that shit and it was awful, so like anyway.
Moving on. It's difficult.
So tell me about your week, Blessing.
Okay. Also, I'm glad that I like the direction that conversation went, because I was not expecting to talk about that today, and I actually enjoyed that conversation.
Zac Efron owning all of anime?
That whole deal.
If you have anime in your house, then Zac Efron can come in, legally can come into your house and take your anime away.
Zac Efron is making money off you. And so this week, okay, well, I've done a few things. I haven't played much games. I pre-ordered a lot of games. And I already kind of detailed that before, so I won't go into it. I finished Banjo-Kazooie, and Ian, let me tell you, Banjo-Kazooie is dope. That is a dope, awesome game, and I really, really like it. And I think it has probably one of the best endings to any game I've played. Like, not the best because I've played Metal Gear Solid games, but it has, like, one of the best. Like, the last kind of big level that you go into, I'm spoiling Banjo-Kazooie. It's not a game with, like, a strong story, but if you don't want to hear Banjo-Kazooie spoilers, then maybe tune out for a bit. The last area of the game is called Click Clock Wood, and that's, like, one of the best 3D platformer levels I've ever played. Like, it does a cool thing where, like, it's the same level, but there's four different versions of it for each season. And so you go into the level during the spring season, I believe. I think you start off with spring, and then, like, you complete the level. And then you're like, okay, cool, I'm done here. And then you unlock summer. And you're like, okay, cool, I'm going to go through this door that says summer. And then you walk through and you're like, oh, this is the same exact level. And then like you go around and like there's this squirrel you meet. And like there's this giant bird. There's like a bunch of different stuff. And as you go through each of the different seasons, the characters are doing different things. And like you're kind of like helping out each of the different characters. It was like one of the coolest like things I've seen in like a 3D platform. It was really cool. It was really awesome. And then like the final boss battle is not a boss battle. It's a quiz about like everything you've done in the game. And it's like a board game style thing where like you step on different blocks, and different blocks have like different icons on them. And if you get like a certain icon, right? If you get like an icon with like a picture on it, like a picture icon, it'll like show you an image, like a random image in the game's like, okay, what level is this from? And you have to like choose the right answer. And you have to like, it has like weird, strange rules to it, but you have to basically answer enough right questions in a row to win the game. And it's really cool and really awesome. And it's one of the most charming things I've seen in the game. Like the boss that you've been like battling with the whole, or not even battling, because you don't really battle, you like have words with, like the boss is like antagonizing you the whole game and stuff like that. Instead of like fighting you, she's just like, oh, I'm gonna host this game show and you're gonna be like the contestant, and like there are like random questions where it's like, okay, listen to this song. What level is this song from? And you have to answer it right. If not, then you like lose like some of your health. It is so amazing and it's done so well. And I finished that game and I was like, that game, just the ending of that game is just amazing, because you finish it and you're like, okay, is the boss battle now? And no, what happens is she lets your sister go because she kidnapped your sister in the game, and then she just runs away. And you're like, that's how the game ends? Like, I don't fight her. I don't do anything. Like, I don't have this, like, this huge climax. All that happens is I just complete this game show. And it was really cool, because it wasn't stereotypical. I was expecting, like, I was going to have a boss fight. But instead, like, I had to look back and, like, actually use my brain and think back to, like, everything I've done in this game and answer different questions about different things. It was cool.
That's all
I can really say about it. It's really cool. Like, it got me really hyped when I was done with it. And, like, even when I entered it, I was like, this is crazy.
You're a strange man. You get hyped up about tests. You're like, oh, fuck, it's an examination.
Because I was not expecting it.
Were you, like, flipping your chair at the SAT or what?
At the SAT, I came in the SAT with my shirt off and, like, my body painted. I was like, yeah, let's do this.
It's happening.
Yeah, it's happening. But, yeah, dude, that got me so, like, not hyped, but I was just so, like, intrigued and satisfied and, like, when I say the word satisfied is weird, because it sounds like I just had like a moment with the game, but like
you had so new episode title, Zac Efron owns your anime and blessing gets horny for the SAT.
Horny for the SAT, I like that one. But yeah, right, dude, that game is dope. Man, yeah, Banjo-Kazooie is awesome, and like for some reason I can't stop thinking about Banjo-Kazooie. Like all I want to do right now is play Banjo-Tooie, but I'm saving it. And I can't wait for Yooka-Laylee, because it's like, it's Banjo-Kazooie and like that, it's like all the old Rare games put into one. Or maybe it's just Banjo-Kazooie, I don't know. But it's going to be that game again, and I cannot wait for it, because it's going to be a 2017 version. I'm super hyped for it. So I did that. I met some kind of funny fans from the Facebook group. So like, this dude posted a selfie of him and this girl, and he was like, hey, I met a fellow kind of funny fan. And I was like, oh, snap, they're in Seattle. And, like, also it was weird because, like, they looked very, like, couple-ish in the photo. And I was like, huh, I wonder, like, how this came to be. And so, like, I commented on and stuff. And I was like, hey, like, you guys are super near me. And they're like, oh, dude. And, like, a bunch of other people from Seattle were commenting. Like, oh, dude, that's awesome. That's awesome. And the girl, her name was, like, C, I think. I should know her name. But she commented. She was like, oh, hey, do you guys want to meet up? And I was like, dude, for sure. Let's meet up. And so I met them downtown, and we hung out for a bit, and they were awesome. They were cool. Their story was interesting. Like, basically, how they met in the Kind of Funny Facebook group, which for those listening and might not know, like, I help admin the Facebook group. And so he posted a post in the Facebook group about, like, his dog, and I think he was, like, sad about his dog or something. Like, I think maybe he had to go to a vet or something. I don't know. And she commented on it. This is like a month ago, maybe like a month and a half ago. She's like, oh, the dog's cute. You're all right though. And then like the dude commented on it like kind of sarcastically, and she thought that she like offended him, and so like she slid into his DMs and was like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it like that. Oh, I mean, and oh, you're cute too, and all that stuff. And then apparently like they just kept talking, and this dude ended up flying from Maryland all the way to Seattle to come visit her. And this is like in the span of like a month and stuff. And I was hearing the story. I'm like, yo, that's crazy. And like, it kind of hit me that like that happened in like a group that I kind of help like oversee. And that kind of like, I don't know, it touched me in a weird way of like, man, like I get to have like this like impact on the world. It was weird. It felt really weird, but it was super cool to watch. It was super weird because I was like, this is the only thing that could happen in 2017. Like, this wouldn't have happened in like 1970. Whenever I don't know when the internet was invented.
This wouldn't have happened a long time ago.
And so that was the thing that happened. Shout out to, I wish I knew her name. I think it's like Raina, C. Raina. I know her by Facebook name, but her Facebook name looks weird. And Numair is the dude. Both cool people. And I think I'm going to hang out with them later tonight, but I got to message them. And so I did that. I watched a lot of Flash and Arrow. I watched about 6 episodes of each within the last week, and yesterday I watched about 8 episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I have written here in the doc, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. literally just doo-doos all over their faces. It's just ridiculous. And that's how I feel. Like,
yep.
It's ridiculous how much better Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is. At least this season. Like, this season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is better than this season of Arrow and Flash. Like, by far. Like, it's such a good show. Like, such a good show. And if you don't watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you should watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because this is really good. And if you watch Arrow and Flash and you like them, then, like, that do you. Like, but that show sucks, man. At least right now. Like, It's not that they're getting worse. At least, like, Arrow's not getting worse because it was already in a bad place. But it's not getting back to the level where Arrow needs to be. Like, Arrow in season 1 and season 2 used to be, like, some straight up, like, I was invested. Like, there was some mystery in that show. There was some, like, some conflict in that show. People were dying. People were, like, getting their heads chopped off and stuff. Like, it was crazy.
Some intense sort of shit.
Yeah. And now, like, everything is just, like, butterflies and rainbows and, like, I don't know, Oliver is just bringing random people in the base, like, hey, what's up, hey, yo, and there's just some random characters in there like nobody knows. And it's so, and Flash is like cool, but it's like the same thing, and I'm like, I don't need another story about like how he messes up the timeline. I feel like I've gotten this like a lot. And yeah, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. though, man, something fresh, something new. It feels like Escargo. And so, yeah, that's what I've been up to this week. And, yeah, I guess we can get to our topic of the show. To celebrate our 30th episode, I wanted us to make a list of OKB's best 30 games of this console generation so far. And so, I don't know how we want to go about this. Me and you both have lists that we made for this topic. Mm-hmm. What do we feel like needs to be on this list?
What do you mean? Like, what is the essentials of each console generation?
No, I mean, I'm list? just for this console generation. So, like, PS4, Xbox One, Wii U, I guess. And, like, anything since 2013, I'll say.
Yeah, I feel like when I was making this list, I was thinking, like, okay, what's the most important thing? And I think that the diversity is a very important thing. Like, you want a fighting game, you want a horror game, you want an action game, you want an action platforming game, you want a puzzle game, stuff like that, an RPG, stuff like that. So that's what I try to do when making my list. So here, I'm just going to read off my games to you, and I want you to just hear what they are. So right now, I've got Bloodborne, Overwatch, Witcher 3, Rocket League, The Witness, Guilty Gear, Destiny, Neo, Persona 5, RE7, Transistor, For Honor, Pokemon Sun and Moon, Monster Hunter, Super Mario Maker, Splatoon, and Mario Kart 8.
I like it. So I just typed down the ones that we both have on the games that we have on both our lists. And so that's Overwatch, Witcher 3, The Witness, and Mario Maker on both our lists. And so they'll for sure be on the top 30. As far as like the games on your list that I haven't played that I can understand for sure and I think probably should be on the list, I think Bloodborne, from what I've heard and seen from people, is awesome. And so I'll add that. Did I add Rocket League? Oh, no, I didn't add Rocket League. Rocket League has to be on there. Rocket League. I mean, Destiny, Neo.
I'm just thinking of games that held this kind of space in our video game community for, like, a hot minute. And, like, Destiny, everyone was talking about Destiny. Mm-hmm. Witcher 3, everyone was talking about Witcher 3. You know, the Guilty Gear, people not like weren't as talking about that as much. But in terms of like, if I had to choose one fighting game that is like both consistently beautiful and like just a good fighting game, I would go with Guilty Gear over Street Fighter, over For Honor if I had to choose. And then like for horror games, RE7 as well. And then like Persona 5 is a gorgeous masterpiece of RPG.
The way I look at it as like for us two. And so I'm like, what games did us two specifically think were like are either our favorite or our best? And I mean, you don't have to think this way either. You can still think go about it the way you're going about it. But the way I think I'm going about it, at least, is like, what games do I think both of us like? since like technically like us two are okay beasts. And so like my list, I'll read my list real quick since you read yours. I have Undertale, Rocket League.
Oh, Overwatch, Undertale! Shit, I completely forgot about Undertale. Okay,
Metal Gear Solid 5, Last Guardian, The Witness, Fallout 4, Inside, Mario Maker, Shadow of Mordor, Ratchet and Clank, Forza Horizon 3, Dishonored 2, Until Dawn, Broken Age, The Witcher 3, Fury, Mortal Kombat X, Severed, and Deus Ex Mankind Divided. I'm not even sure how many that is. I think it's less than 30. But if I if I had to make a list of what I thought the top whatever games were, I think all those games would be on there. And like, how many games do you have?
I have less than 30 as well.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13.
Yeah, I also just added Metal Gear Solid 5, Until Dawn, and MKX to our list.
Okay. Nice.
So I think so far, Bloodborne, you said, yeah. Okay, good.
Mm-hmm. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay, so we have 10 so far, which are Overwatch, Witcher 3, The Witness, Super Mario Maker, Bloodborne, Rocket League, Undertale, MGS 5, Until Dawn, MKX, Neo. So you just added Neo, you just added Transistor.
I'm adding ones that I think are like my essentials.
You're like shoo-ins.
Yeah.
Pokemon Sun and Moon, I can see that for sure.
Monster Hunter X is like more of like a niche kind of title, but I think it's it's an important game to include, especially since Hunter is eventually coming to the Switch, I hope.
Is that that's a 3DS game, right? Monster Hunter X?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Gotcha.
Splatoon. And then Mario Kart.
Ooh, is Smash on here?
No, it isn't.
Oh, we gotta add Smash for sure. For sure. So that's Smash Bros. For the Wii U.
There you go.
As
what
far
other games
as,
were like important, I guess?
I'm gonna add Fallout 4. Just because my experience with Fallout 4, like...
I liked that game. I liked that game, but at the same time, I was kind of just like, eh, about it. Like, there's always like this weird uncanny valley that I really can't get over with a lot of Fallout games. And maybe that's my own biases, but
how do you feel about Fallout 3?
Fallout 3? Which one was that?
The one before 4. The one on PS3.
Obviously, numerically, like you first... fucking idiot. Jesus Christ. I mean,
it
like...
It was the first 3D one.
Yeah, but what was the story of it again? Where were they?
You're trying to find your dad. They're in the
Oh, yeah, the water thing.
Wasteland.
Yeah. I guess that was more on the, like, more... Okay, so... The closer we get to the Uncanny Valley, the more, or I guess it's more of like an upside down U, or U. Like, the closer we get to the left or the right of the Uncanny Valley, the more comfortable I feel. But like, I feel like Fallout 4 was like right in the middle, and I couldn't get over the fact that it was like characters.
I feel
just
you though.
Stiff
I understand
enough.
Exactly.
Yeah, like that. That's kind of what
I understand exactly
me
what you're talking about.
Yeah, the combat was really cool.
I mean,
though.
I agree with you on as far as like the uncanniness of the characters, like they're everything being super realistic, but also like super weird, and like the animations being super off on like these models that look really good. Fallout 4, I put like maybe 50 hours into, and I feel like any game that I put that much time into, I'm like, well, this is obviously like a dope game. The gameplay loop of that game kind of touched me. It was like my top four on that year, for that year, and so I think that's why I have it. You added Fire Emblem Fates.
I did.
Let me look at my. Okay.
I think to be honest, I first played Fire Emblem like many years ago, but when I first moved to Japan, I think Fire Emblem Awakening, people were talking about that, or maybe. They were talking about Awakening because Fates was coming out soon, and I played Fire Emblem Awakening every single night for like a couple of weeks, like 2 weeks, and that game was so much fun. And that was the first Fire Emblem game I actually like really fell in love with as a strategy game and also as a game about characters and stuff like that. So that is one of the big things that I think is important in games, characterization, and then also like really good gameplay as well. So that's why I wanted to add Fire Emblem Fates to it.
So I just added The Last Guardian and Inside, which
both
are like
games
personal
I did not
picks,
play.
But like, and like those are two games where like The Last Guardian is a personal thing for me. Like I feel like in general, like if you ask anybody to list the top 30 games, that game might not come up on probably most people's lists. On my list, it'd probably be like top 10, top 5 maybe. But that's more so because of my experience with the game. And so, like, if we have, I feel like if we have more than 30 that we feel like we have, I feel like that one can possibly go if we have like more than 30. We can consider it. But for now, I want to have it on there because it, for me personally, like I like it a lot. Inside, I feel like has earned it. Like, I feel like it's one of the best games last year, like top four, at least.
I think Until Dawn. Oh, we already have Until Dawn here. We have 22, I think.
We both love Until Dawn. 22. Yeah. Let me look at my list real quick. Oh, Dishonored 2.
Again, another game did not play.
That game was incredible. Do you not have Watch Dogs 2 on here?
No. I liked it a lot, but there's a lot of problems I had towards the end of the game that put you in situations that were like super difficult and like not difficult. Like, okay, so the one thing in that game that I didn't want to do is I didn't want to kill people. So when I got to these situations where there was like 20 guards in a room and I only had so many bullets for my stun gun and my robots only worked a certain amount of times, like, or my drones only worked a certain amount of times, I was really frustrated because I was like, what the fuck? I don't want to kill any of these people. Like, I felt like I was almost forced into a situation where I had to kill people. It was a great world and great game overall, but just not, I wouldn't put it up there in terms of that sort of stuff.
I put in Shadow of Mordor because have you played Shadow of Mordor, first of all?
I have, yeah, I have.
It's like, it's probably one of the funnest games, most fun games I've played this generation. Like, it's top, like, three most fun for me. Like, it's the only game where, well, it was my first platinum, I believe. Like, it was a game where I beat it, and when I beat it, I was like, I absolutely don't want to stop playing because it's the loop of it is like perfect for me. And I think it revolutionized, like, the Nemesis system. I think is like a lot of people talk about it, and a lot of people, that's like the thing about that game that people shout out and like, oh, this is the thing that this game did. And like I don't want to sound cliche, but that Nemesis system is like a work of art, and it upsets me that like more developers don't use it because it works so well. And like the gameplay loop, the powers you have, like, you feel by the end of the game, once you like work down like your whole like list of skills and stuff, you feel super powerful, and it's super satisfying. The game is just super fun. Like, it was my favorite game I played that year, which is why I have it on there. How many is that?
We have, I'm not like, sure. A list
now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25. We have 25. I'm looking at my list now. I have Deus Ex, which I don't want to put on there. Severed, which I don't want to put on there. Mortal Kombat X, which I don't feel like needs to be on there. Fear. Ooh, I want to put Broken Age on there for now, at least.
Okay.
Broken Age. For those who don't know Broken Age is a adventure game developed by Double Fine, and it's a really cool story. I feel like talking about the story is ruining the story a bit, but it's about a boy and a girl, and their stories kind of take place in different settings, and their stories kind of collide in a really cool way. The style of the game is very unique and something I've never seen before, and also the way the game, the charm and the kind of feel of the game is really good, and it's really like, it's really endearing. And I know those are like kind of like generic adjectives to use, but if you play the game, like, you know, like, it's very heartfelt, and it's just really good. It has like a childlike nature to it too, which is cool. And it's pretty, and it feels like a very smart adventure game. It has like the same problems that many adventure games have, where like you get stuck and you're like, what is the solution? And you figure out the solution, and you're like, this has nothing to do with anything. Like, how do these, are these two things related? But aside from that, I feel like that game is expertly done.
I agree. That was like one of those games, like, sometimes when I don't have time to play games, and that, I'm getting older, that seems to be a thing that keeps on happening. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What I do is I like will watch a like YouTube playthrough. And I watched a YouTube playthrough of Broken Age. It was Jesse Cox was his, he's like a pretty big YouTuber. It was his playthrough, and a super great game with like a lot of heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It does have like a lot of heart, and it feels different from many games. And I mean, I think part of that has to do with like, it's kind of like an indie game in this sense. I don't think it officially is an indie game, but it kind of reminds me of an indie game with like how heartfelt it is and how different it feels from everything else, but also it has like the production of something that's like maybe not AAA, but like maybe like just below AAA, I guess. I added Ratchet and Clank, which I feel like needs a shout out. Like, if you've seen Ratchet and Clank, like, the game's beautiful. It's faithfully redone. The gameplay is awesome. Everything about that game, I have like no qualms with that game. Like, almost no qualms with that game. I can't think of any qualms I have except for the final boss battle sucks. But the game's dope. Awesome. So I think we have like 27 now.
All right, I'm going to number them right now.
Possibly. Okay.
You know what great content is for a podcast? Talking about numbers.
Talking about numbers and typing things down that people can't see. I'll read what we have so far. We have Overwatch, and this is in no order. We have Overwatch, Witcher 3, The Witness, Super Mario Maker, Bloodborne, Rocket League, Undertale, Metal Gear Solid 5, Until Dawn, MKX, Fallout 4, Neo, Transistor, The Last Guardian, Inside, Resident Evil 7, Dishonored 2, Shadow of Mordor, Persona 5, Ratchet and Clank, Pokemon Sun and Moon, Monster Hunter X, Splatoon, Mario Kart 8, Smash Bros. For Wii U, Fire Emblem Fates, Broken Age. I feel like I'm missing something. But that right there is 27. And so we need three more for the top 30 of this generation.
Cookie Mama.
And also for the people listening, remember that this is me and Ian's list. And so like Doom is missing because I don't think either of us played Doom.
No, I played Doom.
Oh, you played Doom? And you wouldn't put it on the list?
No.
Okay.
It just didn't grab me like Hitman. It did other people.
I think I put Hitman on there.
Okay.
It could get bumped off if we think of something else, but for now, I'm like that. I really like that game.
I'm trying to think of other games that came out. What other games came out, Blessing? Right now, if you're watching this, please text this number with any of your top 30 that you think. 201.
We recorded this 4 days ago.
Exactly.
Forza Horizon 3, maybe, but... Oh, Rare Replay. We're adding Rare Replay.
Got it.
I don't care if that's a collection. Rare Replay is like number one for me. That's like... I put in more hours to Rare Replay than I have maybe like any other game. Like, Rare Replay is amazing. So there's that.
Super pick.
Ori and the Blind Forest, I haven't played, and so I played like an hour of it. So I can't like put that in there with good conscience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know English. If we can't think of anything else, then I would nominate Fury. Do you have anything that you would add?
No,
is
not
your whole
really.
List on there?
Yeah.
Dang.
Or not my whole list. You had a lot of it. Oh, wait. Did we put Destiny?
I think we did. Did we?
No, it's not.
I guess we could add Destiny.
Destiny. There you go. Boop.
Is there anything on this list that you feel like should be removed to make room for anything else?
Honestly, no, because all these games are really great in their own right. And I feel like if you picked up any of these games, you would be satisfied with what you have, I think.
I agree.
So
like,
let me read.
Seems like a solid list.
Yeah. So let me read the list. The final verdict. So we have Overwatch, Witcher 3, The Witness, Super Mario Maker, Bloodborne, Rocket League, Undertale, Metal Gear Solid 5, Until Dawn, MKX, Fallout 4, Neo, Transistor, The Last Guardian, Inside, Resident Evil 7, Dishonored 2, Shadow of Mordor, Persona 5, Ratchet and Clank, Pokemon Sun and Moon, Monster Hunter X, Splatoon, Mario Kart 8, Smash Bros. Wii U, Fire Emblem Fates, Broken Age, Hitman, Rare Replay, and finally Destiny.
That's a legit list right there.
Yeah, those are
there's
all
There's somebody
really
like
games.
Screaming. There's somebody out there screaming at us, and they're like, "How did you forget this game?" And to that person, I want to say, I was going to say suck it, but maybe not. I'm sorry. I'll say I'm sorry that we forgot your game.
Jesus.
Dark Souls 3, Dark Souls 2. Dark Souls 2 was on PS3, wasn't it?
I'm not sure, to be honest with you. I really liked Dark Souls 3, but there was this issue I had with it, and it didn't grab me as much as other games. Like, Neo is grabbing me more than Dark Souls 3.
I'm looking up this game real quick to see if it originally came out on PS4. Because I think it might be on PS3. Okay, good. It was on PS3. Rogue Legacy would have made my list for sure, but... It was on PS3 also, and so I'm solid with that list. I believe I'm gonna turn on my PS4 and realize that I missed something. I'm gonna get super upset. But yeah, good list. And so now let's move into the Switch corner. I think this might be our last, maybe second to last Switch corner, since the Switch is out literally like the day we record the next episode. And so I guess the whole next episode will probably be we wouldn't have played it by then since it would have just came out. And so the episode after next episode will be like a whole Switch corner, I guess. But the Switch corner for this week, the embargo's up, which means that like the news outlets, everybody is like the floodgates have opened, and we've heard impressions, news, all the things you need to hear about the Nintendo Switch. What do we feel about what we've heard so far? Ian, do you have any like opinions or anything you want to talk about as far as like Switch news that we've heard from the last 24 hours?
Well, I've heard there's like desync issues with the controllers, which is kind of frustrating to me.
Mm.
Because obviously if you have a new console, you want to make sure that there's like very little tech issues. So whenever people talk about tech issues of a new console, that always frustrates me. But I guess on the positive side, the UI looks super clean.
Oh yeah.
Like it looks like an almost like an iPhone Apple device.
Mm-hmm.
Which is good, because a lot of people complained in the last console that like almost all of Nintendo's UI was kind of kiddie and bubbly, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Which I guess is good and bad, because some people will see that as like a trademark of like Nintendo's a console for kids, you know, and that's kind of the image they want to portray. But at the same time, now all those kids that grew up with Nintendo kind of have grown up and they kind of want something more adult friendly. So I'm kind of split on the UI decisions between it. Yeah. Overall, I'm not super excited for the Switch itself, but for the games, I'm really excited.
Yeah, I mean, I agree, but except for me, I would say for the game, I'm really excited. Like, meaning Zelda. Like,
yeah, the game.
For the game. Because, like, the other games, I could care less about ARMS, Snipperclips, Wendy Switch, and all that stuff. Like, not that they're going to be bad games or anything, but I frankly don't care about them because I got Horizon, I got Persona 5, I got a bunch of other games I'm going to be playing on probably other consoles. But from what we've heard, like, Zelda is incredible. Like, you got people saying that it's difficult, which I like, because Twilight Princess is my favorite Zelda. Mm-hmm. And the combat is super easy. Like, you can take out enemies like super easy, easily. And so I think it's awesome to hear that the combat is difficult, and people are saying that it's most like the first Legend of Zelda on NES, which
wow,
is
really?
Very interesting to hear. Yeah. Like, that's, like, a common thing people are saying. They're saying, like, it's most closest to, like, the NES Zelda. And I think that's with its difficulty and its openness. And so, if that's the case, it's going to be really interesting to play. I want to go back, because I played the original Zelda a couple weeks ago for a Let's Play that's on our YouTube channel. And I kind of want to go back and play it, because it's kind of fun. Like, it still kind of holds up. And I don't know. If it's, like, the first Zelda, then I really want to know what that means. Because, like, open world games nowadays have, like, an established kind of thing, right? When I think of an open world game, I think of a Ubisoft game, or I think of, like, a Fallout, or I think of, like, Skyrim, where, like, you go around, you accept objectives, you accept quests, you're, like, marking off a checklist and all this stuff. From what I've heard from, like, outlets, this Zelda kind of reinvents itself in a way, and kind of is pretty unique with this open world, and it's very exploration based. It's very much about like taking things in, and it seems like the loop is a lot different from other open world games, which seems interesting to me. And if it's compared to the original Zelda, I think that speaks volumes about what the open world has to offer. Because the first Zelda is kind of like, it pretty much is an open world game. And so if it's that open and if it's that different, I'm really excited for what it can be. Especially with Skyward Sword being the latest Zelda to come out. And Skyward Sword not being up to par, in my opinion. I think it's exciting to see that. And so as far as any other Nintendo news, I think the stuff about the Switch seems interesting. It's been kind of the same, like, mixed news. Like, there's some positive stuff, some negative stuff. Overall, it depends on what your taste is on these things. Like, if you care about the Joy-Con buttons being small, then that might be something that might take you off. Oh, by the way, I want to apologize to Alex Van Aken, by the way, because I feel like I pissed him off yesterday, because I was messaging, we have a group chat, and I was, like, messaging, or sending messages about, like, the Switch, and, like, as soon as I see, like, a negative thing about the Switch, I immediately, like, drop it in the group chat,
uh-huh.
And, like, Alex is, like, fairly, like, positive on the Switch, and I realized that I might have been pissing him off a little bit, like, by just, like, dropping negative thing after negative thing, and so I apologize for that, because I realized that I was like, oh, yeah, that might be kind of sucky, but... Yeah, depending on what your taste is on certain things about the Switch, it could be for you, it could not be for you. A big thing that's popped up lately is the Virtual Console. It will not be there at launch, and a lot of people are upset about that. I personally am not too upset about that. Like, I was hoping it'd be there at launch because there's a lack of games. Mm-hmm. And, like, people are comparing it to, like, the PS4 and comparing it to other consoles and saying, like, well, the PS4 didn't have... Virtual Console games, or the PS4 didn't have PS2 to PS4 until like a year and a half later or whatever.
That
and
I'm
like,
true.
Yeah, but like that is true, but at the same time, like, the PS4 also had other games you could play. Like, the PS4 mm-hmm. had Call of Duty, mm-hmm. Assassin's Creed, Battlefield, mm-hmm. yeah. Killzone, now a bunch of indie games, Resogun, all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of like my hope for Nintendo, that like, okay, well, the launch lineup kind of sucks. The launch window games kind of suck. But at least it has this Virtual Console to, like, kind of buffer that out, or, like, indies or something. And it doesn't seem like it has much of anything. But if what everybody's saying about Zelda is true, then that means that... I think that kind of means that the Switch might not need that much, at least for its first month. After the first month, after people kind of finish up with Zelda, I feel like it's going to need a lot more than what it has. But, I don't know. If Zelda's, like, a 10 out of 10, like, perfect, like... game-changing game, then I think it'll be interesting to watch and see how things play out, because I think that won't spell doom and gloom necessarily for Nintendo. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's kind of where I stand on it right now. So did you have anything else as far as Switch or...
We were talking about it earlier today, or earlier in before this podcast started, and we were talking about, like, wow, like, I really hoped that Zelda was mediocre so I could skip over the Switch for a couple of months. And then now everyone's saying, like, it's the best Zelda. And I'm like, oh, no, I don't have the money for this. Like, mm-hmm. that's, like, our general thoughts on it. But I'm excited because mm-hmm. I'm going to start playing it, I think, maybe in April or in March. So yeah, I don't know. I'm excited for the future, but at the same time, I'm kind of hesitant because... I haven't liked a Zelda game since Majora's Mask, and I hope that this game has some of that weird quality to it that Majora's Mask had.
Nice. So let's get into questions. Our first question comes from Nate McKinney at Mick with a Mouth. He says, who is our favorite video game villain? And for me, I'm not sure.
I definitely have one.
Who is it?
It's Flowey from Undertale.
Oh, I think I have the same answer, because that answer is so good. That's a perfect answer. And also, that's a spoiler, but whatever.
If you haven't played Undertale at this point, you're not going to play it. Let's be honest with each other here.
That's true. That's kind of true.
And if you haven't played Undertale, you should go play it and see what happens. Because, you know he's a villain from the very beginning of the game.
You know he's bad.
Well, within the first encounter, you know that he's a bad guy.
That's true. That's a good point. That's a good point, actually. But yeah, no, he's a good villain. I'm not gonna go further into it, but
the farther we go into it, the more stressful
the more
it
spoily it'll get. But like, things happen with Flower that are awesome. So I agree. For me, I'm trying to think of like a Metal Gear Solid villain, because I Metal Gear Solid, I feel like, has like the best character development in games, and all of the villains are awesome. But like, I don't gravitate towards the main villains in Metal Gear Solid games. I gravitate towards, like, the bosses. And so, like, the End is, like, my favorite boss of all time. Just because of that boss fight. Like, the boss fight with the End is basically a sniper battle. And if you wait for, like, seven... Or maybe not. If you wait for some time in real life, I can't remember the exact time, But if you wait for a certain amount of days to pass by, then he'll just die of old age, which I think is like a really cool feature. Yeah. And so I really like him. But as far as like a main villain in a game, I can't really think of one that like really like strikes me is super awesome. Like I think the guy from Far Cry 3 is dope. Voss is his name. He has like a good speech on Insanity. Yeah. That's pretty good. Bowser in Mario 64 is pretty good too. So shout out to Bowser. I think that's my answer, is Bowser Mario 64. Our last question comes from Andrew Middlemass at 8-bit more. I can't read what his Twitter name is. I think I did a bad job of copying and pasting it. Bit a more, I think. Bit armor. I think it's bit armor. There's an 8 before the at, which is confusing me, but I don't know where that came from. He asks, with Horizon Zero Dawn, Mass Effect, and Wildlands out within a month. I'm sorry. It's hilarious to me that those are the three games he lists out of all the games that are coming out. I mean, okay, whatever. But with Horizon Zero Dawn, Mass Effect, and Wildlands out within a month, are you passing on any game for a bit to clear the others? I'm laughing because
We've been talking about this for the past couple of like minutes, actually, but... Mm-hmm. I think I might have to I have to choose between Horizon or Zelda, and I have to choose to see if I want to do Horizon now and then Zelda later, or Zelda now and Horizon later.
Yeah, I'm in the same predicament, because I get Horizon on Tuesday, then I get Zelda on Friday, and that means I have 3 days to spend with only Horizon, and I work, and so I have like 3 evenings to spend with Horizon, and I'm going to try and put as much time into that game as possible before Zelda comes out, because I know for a fact that Zelda is going to take me over. And I messaged Alex Van Aken about this earlier today, and I was like, dude, Horizon is going to be like my home game, and Zelda is going to be like my game on the go, because I want to play both those games so bad, because they both are like nines and above. Like, they're both like excellent games, and they're both kind of similar. Like, they're open world games, like open world kind of like action adventure games, which is kind of weird. It's weird. I never had like this predicament where I have two somewhat similar games coming out within a span of one another that I both like top tier. And so I don't know what I'm going to do about that. But after these games, like the next game that I'm hyped for, or the next games that I'm hyped for, come out in early April. And I think I think those games also come out like within a week of each other, which are Persona 5 and Yooka-Laylee. And
so I'll have to figure that out also. Persona 5 is a big game as well that we need to figure out.
Yeah. But hopefully I'll be done with Horizon and Zelda before Persona 5, so that I can just focus my time on Persona 5, because I know I'm going to be hyped and like I'm going to want to be into that. And so that's kind of where I stand right now.
Yeah. And I just said mine as well, but we're pretty much on the same page with this, is that we have to choose between Horizon or Zelda, and I have to decide to buy a whole new system or to play Horizon for $60. So that's my current dilemma.
Cool. Well, that has been the OKB's podcast. I think that marks the end of this episode. Ian, where can people find you on the social medias?
You can find me at @IanWhyNot on Twitter.
Nice. You can find me on Twitter also at Blessing Junior. You can find me on Instagram, Snapchat, literally anywhere on the internet at Blessing Junior. And remember, for those listening, remember that the OKB's podcast is a gaming and nerd culture centric show where a couple of friends come together and talk about what's going on in our world. We're the official podcast of OKBeast.com. If you like the show, remember to subscribe to us on your streaming service of choice. Visit OKBeast.com and follow at OKBeast now on Twitter. I've been Blessing. That has been Ian. Say bye to the people.
Bye-bye. Hey.